born in about 215 BC. He is the king of Syria, not a very good person. He has recently invaded Israel and seized power. He has even taken control of the temple in Jerusalem. Laodice, wife of Antiochus, she was married to two of Antiochus's brothers before she married him. She is also his sister. There is Antiochus's attendant, the one played by Jack this evening. He is just as evil as Antiochus is, who assists him with all of his dirty deeds. There is Matthias. Please rise, Matthias, and identify who you are. He is an elderly Jewish priest. He loves God and has raised all of his five sons to love him too. There is Judah. Judah is the chief of Matthias's five sons, and he will be the instigator of most of the battles. The story also includes three other Jewish men, chosen at random, of course. There is James. Please stand up. He is a devout Jew trying to follow God. There is Saul. Saul is wishy-washy. And then there is Emmet, which is completely materialistic, has no care of God at all. Consumerism. There are Syrian soldiers. Please identify yourself, Syrian soldiers. They will be going to battle against Israelite soldiers. Please raise your arms, Israelite soldiers. Yay! Identify who you are. All right. Those are our characters for the evening. There's supposed to be a lot more Syrians in Israel, like 2 to 3 to 1, or no, actually 10 to 1. But the Syrians come back to life a couple of times to react themselves out, because we're short a few. Please enjoy our Hanukkah story. Alexander the Great defeated the Persians and the Medes. He fought many battles and conquered strongholds, put to death the kings of the earth. He gathered a very strong army and ruled over the countries, nations, and princes. Soon afterwards, Alexander became sick and realized he was dying. He summoned his most honored officers, divided his kingdom among them while he was still alive. After Alexander's death, his officers began to rule, each with his own place. They all put on crowns, brought a lot of evil into the world. From this group came forth a very sinful root, Antiochus Epiphanes, the son of Antiochus the king.
Sinful? Ha! I have everything I've ever wanted. I rule these people here in Israel, and if they don't do what I say, I have them killed.
Who's the queen?
Oh, my dearest darling, you're not any more sinful than I am. If you were, I would know it. You're a wonderful brother and husband. These Hebrews are lower class people who believe in a weak God. They're foolish and they need someone to rule over them.
Well, thank you, my dear Lydies. Your encouragement shows me that I was right when I decided to take you, my sister, as my wife. I am a better husband than my brothers were to you.
Before long, people became more concerned about pleasing their leader than about pleasing God. Because of persecution, it became easier to just try to blend in. And some did. Saul had an idea for his friends.
Hey guys, let's make a covenant with these Greeks. Ever since they've been here, we've separated ourselves from them, and many evils have come upon us as a result. Things are never going to be the way they were anyway. And like I've always said, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Sounds great to me, Saul. Count me in.
This proposal pleased them, and some people eagerly went to the king. He authorized them to observe the ordinances of the Gentiles. Antiochus decided to build a gymnasium in Jerusalem, so Jews could participate in the Greek athletic competitions and customs. The king's evil attendant made the announcement.
Hear ye, hear ye!
The noble king Antiochus and his beautiful queen Laodice have wonderful plans. A Greek gymnasium will be built here in Israel, so that you Jews can join with us in numerous athletic competitions. The winners of these games will be given great honor and even treated like friends and relatives of the noble family.
Sometimes you have to compromise a little to keep everyone happy. They'll love us, you'll see. They just don't like the fact that we act so different.
Different? Because Yahuwah would not have us to mix with these Gentiles. These Greeks will never accept us because we refuse to worship pagan gods. He chose us and has given us the Torah, Shabbat, and the festivals to be different.
Well, for once, couldn't he choose someone else?
So they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to Gentile customs. However, the nude Greek games brought another problem. Saul went to James.
Where'd he go?
Oh. Hey guys, why don't we stop the circumcision and nobody will be able to tell the difference between us and the Greeks when we participate in the games?
Yahuwah wants us not to look and act like everyone else. He wants us to be holy people, set apart for himself.
That was then, and this is now. It's been a long time since God spoke to Moshe on the mountain. How do we know that he's not changed his mind about some of the things he said so long ago? I might have been born a Jew, but I'll die a Greek.
So, many removed the marks of circumcision and abandoned the Holy Covenant. They joined the Gentiles and sold themselves to do evil. Antiochus then conquered Egypt and became king of the land of Egypt as well as Israel. Antiochus went up to Israel and came to Jerusalem with a strong force. He arrogantly entered the temple, took all the gold and silver in vessels as well as his own property. Antiochus was pleased with himself.
I was born to rule. There is nothing I cannot do. There is nothing I cannot have. These are fine treasures are too good for these infidel Jews anyway. I am sure Zeus and all these fine treasures laid up here are just for me. Kill anyone who tries to stop us. These Jews are the scum of the earth. And I'm getting tired of them. I've heard some of them even have horns and a tail.
Taking all the gold and silver vessels for the temple, Antiochus departed, committing deeds of murder as he traveled, whenever it suited him, and that was often. Israel mourned deeply in every community. Rulers, elders groaned. All the house of Israel was clothed with shame, and James was angry with his friends.
You said that if we acted like them and dressed like them, they'd accept us and leave us alone. And they are leaving some of us alone, the dead ones.
2 years later, the king sent a tribute collector to the cities of Israel. He came to Jerusalem with a large force of soldiers. Deceitfully, he spoke peaceful words to them, and they believed him. But suddenly, the armed forces fell upon the city, dealt it a severe blow, destroyed many people of Israel. The collector plundered the city, burned it with fire, and tore down its houses, its surrounding walls. On every side of the sanctuary, they shed innocent blood. They even defiled the sanctuary. Antiochus loved power. He would occasionally go through the streets, giving out money just to gain favor from the people. And he enjoyed spilling oil on the floor of the bathhouse and watching people fall. This behavior became so erratic that his own people nicknamed him Epiphanes, which means madman. Laodice and Antiochus were not finished yet.
The problem is, we're just too many cultures trying to survive. We all should be one people. Why don't you encourage everyone to give up their own customs and religion and join us? If there is no offering to sacrifices in the Jewish temple, then there is no need for the priesthood.
I agree. Some of the Jews are trying to hold on to their old ways. As a result, I forbid them to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices. The Sabbath is no different than any other day. Their feasts are ridiculous. The Jews are just lazy, not wanting to work. No more priesthood either. Our Greek festival days are much greater and have much more meaning. I want to build new altars and erect statues to our Greek and Syrian gods here in Jerusalem. There's nothing like the winter solstice holiday and raw day!
Many from Israel gladly adopted Antiochus' religion and the customs. They sacrificed to idols, they profaned the Sabbath. Antiochus even went so far to have a statue of Zeus erected on the altar in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Knowing the Jews considered swine unclean, Antiochus sacrificed a pig on the altar, and then he took the blood and splattered it within the Holy of Holies. Israel's sanctuary became desolate. Her feasts were turned to mourning, her Sabbaths into a reproach. Her honor into contempt. Her dishonor grew as great as her glory was. There is also living in Israel a priest by the name of Matthias, with his 5 sons. Even though he was almost 80 years old, his neighbors respected him for his wisdom and courage. He then spoke to his son, Judah.
I will not bow down to foreign gods, my son.
How can the Syrian come here, claim to be our king, and just take over?
Because we let him, son. But Yahuwah will not leave us in Antiochus's hand. The Torah says, God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel.
Antiochus continued his evil ways.
Jews only sacrifice bulls and lambs and goats. Pigs are a lot cheaper. And besides, if I do that, we all can have a barbecue afterwards.
Well, I was heard, waste not, want not. It's not so bad. I love Rade. Antiochus wants us to leave our sons uncircumcised. He says that it's cruel to do such a tragic thing to them when they're only 8 days old. It would be better if we waited till they were adults. That way they could make their minds up themselves if they wanted to be circumcised or not.
I believe he actually said that whoever doesn't obey his command would die.
Antiochus found the books of the law and had them torn to pieces and burned. They put to death the women who had their children circumcised, as well as their families and those who performed circumcision. But many in Israel stood firm and resolved in their hearts to obey the commandments of God. They chose to die rather than to be defiled, and many did die. Matthias then came to Judah.
What good is it to be a priest when we're not permitted to offer sacrifices to the Lord, or have our children circumcised, or even eat our foods? I'm going to move my family, including my sons, from Jerusalem and settle in Modi'ini. Judah, have your brothers prepare our livestock to move to Modi'in. Tell Simon, John, Eleazar, and Jonathan to start packing our things. We're leaving Jerusalem. That fool Antiochus has presumed that all Israel will bow before him and conform to his laws. I have seen the blasphemies being committed in Judah and Jerusalem. We're one Jewish family who will not compromise. Locate pack as many weapons as you can find. And may the Eternal, blessed be his name, preserve us.
I can't believe I've lived to see the ruin of our people, the ruin of the holy city in Jerusalem, and to live here when it was given over to the enemies. Her babes have been killed in the streets, and her youths by the sword of our foe.
The temple has become like a man without honor. We are no longer free, but we have become slaves in our own country.
The king's attendant came to Matthias and instructed him to obey the king's command. When he had finished speaking, the Jew Emmet came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifices upon the altar in the way Antiochus had commanded them.
Matthias, you are a leader.
honor in great in this city, and supported by sons and brothers. Be first to come and do what the king commands. Then you and your sons will be numbered among the friends of the king. And you and your sons will be honored with silver and gold and many gifts.
Even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and depart from the religion of his fathers, I and my sons and brothers will live by the covenant of our fathers. We will not desert Yahuwah's laws and ordinances.
When he had finished speaking, the Jew Emmet came forward in the sight of all to offer a sacrifice upon the altar in the way Antiochus commanded him to.
What are you doing, Emmet? Have you no honor, no faithfulness to your God?
I'm doing as our king has commanded.
We have no king but Yahuwah.
When Matthias saw what Emmet was doing, he gave way to righteous anger. He ran and killed him on the altar. At the same time, he killed Antiochus' attendant, who was forcing him to sacrifice. Kill the attendant too. Kill the attendant. Then he tore down the altar.
Let everyone who is zealous for the law and supports the covenant of God come with me.
We must leave all that we have and flee to the hills, or we'll be dead by morning. There are many of you who are seeking righteousness and justice. Bring your sons, their wives, and their cattle, and join with us.
Matthias and his sons united with other mighty warriors of Israel, everyone who offered himself willingly. They organized an army, and Matthias and his followers went about and tore down the altars. They circumcised all the uncircumcised boys that they found within the borders of Israel.
Things aren't going so well, Antiochus. You should have killed that old Jew, Matthias, when he first dared to disagree with your commands. Now he and his sons are wreaking havoc all over Israel.
There's only a few of them, my darling. Their momentary zeal doesn't compare to our military ability. Matthias is old and will die soon. We'll crush them before they know what's happened to them.
But Antiochus' plan to crush the Maccabees did not quickly come to pass, as he hoped. Matthias then called all of his sons to him.
I am an old, old, old man. And the days are drawing near, and I am going to die. Sin and pride have become strong in the land. It's time for furious anger. Now, my children, show zeal for the law and give your lives for the covenant of our fathers.
Was not Abraham faithful when he tested and was reckoned to him as righteousness? Joseph in the time of his distress kept the commandment and became lord of Egypt. Phinehas, our father, because he was deeply zealous, received the covenant of everlasting priesthood. Joshua, Caleb, David, Elijah, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel were all blessed and delivered.
And so observe from generation to generation that none who put their trust in Yahuwah will lack strength. My children, be courageous and grow strong in the law, for by it you will gain honor. Judah has been a mighty warrior from his youth. He shall command the army for you.
Matthias placed his hands on Judah's head and blessed him. Matthias died and was buried in the tomb of his fathers in Modin. Then Judah, who was called to Maccabee, took command at Matthias' death. All his brothers and those who had joined his father helped him. They gladly fought for Israel, and Judah went to the cities and destroyed the ungodly out of the land of Israel. A large force of Gentiles from Samaria gathered to fight against Israel. When Judah learned of it, he went out to meet them.
My bad. It is not the size of the army that determines our victory. our sh- Oh. Our strength comes from heaven. Yahweh himself will crush them before us. As for you, do not be afraid of them.
The battle was great, and many Gentiles were killed. Then Judah and his brothers began to be feared, and terror fell upon the Gentiles all around them. When King Antiochus heard these reports, he was angered.
Who does that Judah Maccabee think he is? I'll show him that I'm stronger than his God. I'll gather all the military forces of my kingdom into one very strong army. I'll open my treasury and give a year's pay to all who were willing to come against Judah and his followers.
Yes, my dear, and since I'm the high priestess, I'll go to the temple and offer prayers for their destruction. We'll show them those Jews don't stand a chance against our troop and God's.
Judah, however, was not intimidated by Antiochus.
Don't fear their numbers or be afraid of them. Remember how our fathers were saved at the Red Sea when Pharaoh pursued them. Instead, let us cry to heaven. Yahuwah will favor us and remember his covenant with our fathers and crush this army before us today. Then all the Gentiles will know there is one who redeems and saves Israel.
Can't we all just go home?
Come on, Saul, let's blow our shofarim and call all Israel to battle against these ungodly Gentiles.
They engage the Syrians in battle. Go ahead, go and engage the Syrians. They engaged Syria in battle, and the Gentiles were crushed and fled into the plain, and all those in fear fell by the sword. Okay, girls, run now. Run. Or die. Then King Antiochus sent 60,000 infantrymen and 5,000 cavalry to attack the Maccabees. When Judah saw the army was strong, he prayed.
Don't fear their number. Oh, I just said that. No. It's not highlighted. Baruch Atah Yeshua Tenu. Blessed are you, O Savior of Israel, who crushed the attack of the giant Goliath by the hand of your servant David and gave the Philistines into the hands of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Do it again, Lord. Destroy this alien army by the hand of your people, Israel. Fill those Greeks with cowardice. Strike them down with the word, with the sword of those who love you, and let all who know your name praise you with singing and dancing.
When the Syrians saw the boldness in which Judah inspired his followers, and how ready they were to either live or die, they all fled. When their armies were crushed, Judah went to the sanctuary. He saw the sanctuary desolate, the altar profaned, the gates burned. He chose blameless priests devoted to the law, who cleansed the sanctuary and removed the defiled stones. They tore down the altar which they had profaned by the Gentiles and built a new one. They also rebuilt the sanctuary in the interior of the temple and consecrated the courts. They made new holy vessels. They burned incense on the altar and lighted the lamps on the lampstand. They placed bread on the table and hung up the curtains, and they finished the work that they had undertaken. Early the next morning, on the 25th day of the 9th month, which is the month of Kislev, they rose and offered sacrifices on the new altar. They celebrated a second 8-day-long Sukkot in Kislev and dedicated their lives to Yahuwah.